Well, while investigators in the U.S. are putting together the pieces of Paul Manafort's ties in Eastern Europe and his overseas financial transactions, we thought you might want to hear the sound of Americans caught up in possibly shady overseas Russian transactions. That's the band Red Jumpsuit Apparatus at their live show in Moscow in October of 2013. And they're not money launderers, as far as we know, anyway. But that Moscow tour was financed by money laundered through Eastern Europe's largest documented money laundering scheme, a scheme that came out in the wash this week. It's known as the Laundromat. And between 2010 and 2014, the scheme reportedly moved as much as $20 billion out of Russia and into legitimate bank accounts around the world. The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project got its hands on records of over 120 accounts involved in the scheme, documenting how those billions moved around the world. Now, you have to find a legitimate home for dirty money. And this money went into offshore accounts, into accounts in the United States. It bought diamonds in the UK and even financed the European tour of our friends Red Jumpsuit Apparatus that you just heard a minute ago. Drew Sullivan is the editor and co-founder of the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, and he joins me now. Hi, Drew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, I know it's spiderweb-like, and I know it's complicated by design, but walk me through how this laundromat scheme actually worked.
What happened is that banks in Russia, fronted by some paper companies, transferred about $20.8 billion to Moldova. And they did it through a really clever trick. What they did is they issued very large debt between two companies, and one of those companies would then default on the debt, and then a Moldovan court would order a Russian company to pay that debt to an external company, usually just a paper company. So they used the court order as kind of a means of legitimizing the money.
And then how does the money find its way into a European or an American bank?
Once it was in this Moldovan bank, it was in a bailiff's account of the Moldovan bank. It went out to the various offshore companies that were paid, and then it went to a bank in Latvia called Trashta Commerzbank, which has since been closed for money laundering. And then once it was in Europe, it was able to go all over the world without any serious checks on the money.
So part of the question here is why resort to all of these transactions? I mean, if you're a rich Russian oligarch or a Russian criminal with lots of money, why not just buy a 20 million pound condo in London or a $30 million apartment in New York City? Why not just buy it? Invest your money that way.
Well, you can't directly, because it's too easy to track down for authorities. And so you have to go through a series of offshores to kind of hide the money. So once you've moved it into offshores, you then have the problem of offshores have a, you know, bad taint to them. And so a lot of banks would check them out very closely. So you need some evidence that it's legitimate money. The whole trick to this whole operation was they had a Moldovan court order saying, hey, see, we were paid this money and the court ordered it. So now we can use it to buy the apartments in London.
What do we know about the Russian sources, the Russian actors involved here? And also, what do we know about the legitimate banks that might have been complicit or had knowledge?
Well, we don't know a tremendous amount where the money actually came from. Where we speculate where the money came from is by looking at where the money went to, who actually spent the money in the end. Because in Russia, it was done through a bunch of offshore companies. And most of those offshore companies were set up in such a way that there's only proxies, people who didn't know that they were actually running these companies. So it was set up in a fairly careful way. The difference between other cases is that we actually got the bank records, which show where the money went. And so we do know that a number of large Russian oligarchs, a couple in the IT sector, we know the Krapovin family, which is very closely connected to Putin and is related to the Russian railroads, spent a large amount of money that came out of the laundromat.
And do any large, ostensibly legitimate banks have something to worry about here?
Yeah, a lot of the money did go to Western banks. And what happens in that case is once you've laundered money, you can then move it to the Western financial organizations and put it in hedge funds and do all the things you do. But where the banks made a big mistake was they didn't know their customer's customer. They knew their customer, but they didn't know who they were dealing with. And in many cases, you know, that left very clear telltale signs that these were not legitimate transactions. If they had done any check on the companies, they would have seen they were clearly paper companies. If they had tracked down the owners, they would have found out that they were, you know, basically proxies. But, you know, banks kind of short arm this a little bit. They do what they need to by law, but they don't go to extreme efforts or even very difficult efforts to check out, you know, where this money is actually coming from.
Right. It's hard to turn away the billions. Well, Drew Sullivan, it's a remarkable scheme and a remarkable piece of journalism to uncover it. But when you read about the laundromat and this money laundering scheme, I mean, the only conclusion that you can reach is this isn't the only one. I mean, they do this because it works. This happens all the time.
No, I mean, we're basically in a situation where we're probably seeing the largest transfer of wealth from poor countries to rich countries. And, you know, in Russia, it's on the order of, you know, $60 billion a year, sometimes up to $200 billion a year has been flowing out of Russia. Russia is not alone. China is also huge amounts of money going out of China, Brazil, most of the developing world. And so this is, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars a year. And almost all of this has to be laundered. And this is just one example. It's a unique example because we got such detailed information. But there's literally a dozen or two dozen of these copycat schemes going on right now that are being, again, missed by banks and, again, being ignored by regulators. And, you know, this is where the money of these countries is. It's leaving, you know, the countries that need this kind of development, and it's going into luxury real estate and G6 jets and all these luxury goods. And it's not really helping the people of those countries.
Drew Sullivan is the editor and co-founder of the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. Drew, it's been great having you.
It's great being here.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.